Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the earnings conference call for Uniparts India Limited, hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Priyasi Patel from Go India Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Rituja. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Q4 and FY 2026 earnings call of Uniparts India Limited. We have on the call Mr. Gurdeep Soni, Chairman and Managing Director, Ms. Tanushree Bagodia, Whole-time Director and Group CEO, and Mr. Sandeep Taneja, Group CFO. We must remind you that the discussion in today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be therefore viewed in conjunction with the risks that company may face. I will now request Mr. Soni to take us through the financial and the business update, subsequent to which we can open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks a lot. Good afternoon, everyone. It is a pleasure to welcome you to the Uniparts quarter four and full year financial 2026 earnings call. The final quarter of FY 2026 provided further evidence that the global agriculture and construction equipment cycle is turning. Order books strengthened sequentially compared to the quarter three FY 2026, although the pace of recovery varied across geographies and industry segments. At Uniparts, we had been observing these trends over the past few quarters, and we are therefore pleased to have delivered performance exceeding the guidance shared earlier. Therefore, to start with, in quarter four FY 2026, we delivered approximately 31% year-on-year revenue growth and about 18% sequential growth over quarter three. At the same time, for the full year FY 2026, the revenue grew by 21% over FY 2025. This was higher against the guidance of mid-teens growth that was given earlier. As communicated previously, towards the end of quarter three, one of our facilities in Ludhiana experienced a fire incident in the finishing shop. In order to ensure continuity of supplies, we swiftly implemented interim arrangements, primarily leveraging our subsidiary operations and, to a limited extent, select external partners. I am happy to share that these measures enabled uninterrupted support to our customers with minimal disruption. In parallel, the rebuilding effort is well underway. The incident is fully covered under our insurance policy, and the claim was filed during the quarter. We expect normal operations to return on schedule. In March, a fresh escalation in West Asia introduced supply chain uncertainty that required swift action. Our teams responded with agility, putting alternate arrangements in place rapidly to ensure uninterrupted customer supplies. While the evolving geopolitical situation has resulted in increasing input prices, some of this inflation is being mitigated by favorable exchange rates. Our foremost priority has remained business continuity and customer service, and we continue to closely monitor developments and will respond proactively as the situation evolves. Let me now come specifically to the industry developments, and start with the construction equipment industry. In North America, customers' commentary and industry data point to continued growth in FY 2027 for construction equipment, with demand expected to gradually strengthen through the year and the second half being better than the first half. The construction market is supported by investment in data centers, advanced manufacturing, and broader digital infrastructure spending in the United States. Specifically coming to Europe, the construction equipment market appears to have passed its cyclical low, with early signs of recovery becoming more visible in quarter four of 26. In fact, the demand for compact equipment has been a bright spot, and infrastructure-led spending supported by fiscal stimulus, defense investment, and energy transition projects is expected to provide a more stable demand environment throughout the year. This recovery is gradual, with the outlook of modest growth anticipated for the full year. Therefore, taken together, these trends reinforce our view that the construction segment continues to offer strong visibility across regions, plus combined with new business awards that we have had in Unipart, and the improving industry environment is supporting growth momentum for Unipart. Coming to the agriculture side, let me break it up into three segments. Let's start with the small agriculture. The small agriculture market in North America is on the path of recovery. Livestock and dairy production is leading demand, while the higher end of the smaller ag sector range is also showing resilience as farmers begin to cycle through equipment replacement. Overall, the segment is poised for approximately 5% growth in FY27 in line with industry estimates. In Europe, the small agriculture market is showing early signs of stabilization after a prolonged period of softening. Recovery is gradual across markets, with momentum expected to build through the second half of the year. Overall, the outlook for FY27 is positive with modest growth anticipation. And coming to India, the tractor industry demand remains stable, although we have to see how it reacts to the monsoons. With inventory replenishment gaining traction and order book strengthening, Unipart is well positioned to capitalize on the improving cycle. Our strong market share and diversified presence in this segment give us confidence in delivering very healthy growth through 27. Let me talk about the large agricultural machinery. It continues to work through the current down cycle, with leading OEMs affirming that quarter four of 26 represents a cyclical trough. In North America, and particularly the industry volumes for large tractors continues to track down in the mid to high teens year on year. However, in Europe, the sentiment is gradually improving. For Unipart in particular, the new program wins in Europe and a diversified presence across tractor platform positions the company well to participate in the recovery as production volumes normalize through the year. We also have the aftermarket sector, and the aftermarket continues to be a stable contributor for Unipart across North America and Europe. Therefore, sequentially, we expect Q1 to be in line with Q4, and overall, we expect second half of FY27 to be stronger than the first half of 27. Overall, we do expect the growth in FY27 to be in line with what it was in FY26, supported by an improving industry cycle, execution of recent business rewards and wins, and a gradual recovery across the end markets. So if I talk about the strategic outlook, our new business momentum actually has gained meaningful traction, with trailing 12-month business wins exceeding 225 crores, growing over 12.5% over quarter-on-quarter. And encouragingly, these wins are distributed across segments and geographies, and this pipeline provides Unipart with good visibility into the future growth. A brief on the financial positions for quarter 4 FY26, Unipart delivered an EBITDA margin of 24% and 22% EBITDA margin for the full year FY26. The cash flow remains strong, and the company continues to be net debt-free, with a net cash position of 160 crores as on March 2026. The strong balance sheet and margin profile provide a solid foundation for sustainable EPS improvement as volumes recover and operating leverage plays out. In fact, the trailing 12-month EPS post the quarter 4 results is Rs. 35.07, which is 80% higher than that at the end of FY25. This performance actually accounts for 3.4 crores impact on profitability due to the new wage code introduced in November 2025. During Q3 of FY26, the company declared a special dividend of 101 crores. In fact, the total dividend distributed for FY26 was 170 crores, underscoring our commitment to disciplined capital allocations and shareholders' return. With these few words, I would like to invite our CFO, Sandeep Saneja, to present the financial highlights for Q4 of FY26. Thanks. Over to you, Sandeep.
Thank you, sir. Good evening, everyone. Here are the key financial and operational highlights for the quarter ended 31st March 2026. The revenue from operations stood at 339 crores, up 34% year-over-year and 21% quarter-over-quarter. EBITDA was 81 crores, up 95% year-over-year and 32% quarter-over-quarter. Profit after tax stood at 51 crores, up 124% year-over-year and 53% quarter-over-quarter. Operating cash flow was 52 crores in Q4 and 174 crores in FY26. Trailing 12-month EPS stands at 35 rupees and 7 paisa. Net working capital is 136 days on our trailing 12-month revenue as of March 2026. Net cash position 160 crores as of March 2026. CapEx stands at 12 crores for the quarter, and the new business awards were over 225 crores in annualized potential over last 12 months. With that, I'll hand the call back to the moderator for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question and to restrict their questions to two per participant. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical PMS. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to understand with market in recovery mode right now, is there any new product or SKU that you expect to supply to the OEMs going forward?
So hi Madhur, this is Tanushree Bhagodia and thank you for joining us again today. As Chairman mentioned, for FY27, we expect a growth which is coming from, for FY27, we are expecting a growth in line with FY26. And this growth is, of course, coming not only from the industry cycle turning, but also from the new project wins that we've had. And some of these new project wins are, new products that we are supplying to customers. And so, yes, the growth is anticipated to come from there.
Ma'am, please can you tell me what kind of products are we supplying and to which segment? Will it be majorly towards, if you could help me understand, will it be towards the construction segment or the how should I look at from the construction and agriculture mix these new product wins?
Right. So, Madhur, as Chairman explained, our new wins in the trailing 12 months have been about 225 crores and they are broad-based. They come from the construction and the agriculture industry. Our emphasis on growth has been in the large ag and the PMP segments. So a majority of the new business that has come in from these two segments. And these are the two segments in which we will be supplying products. So these are three-point linkage in the large ag and precision machine parts, in the PMP segment. These products technically remain overall similar to what we are manufacturing, but there are certain features and specifications of products that keep differing order to order.
So, madam, we did 24% EBITDA margin in the fourth quarter. So, is it sustainable going forward?
I think if you look at our improving profitability, this is driven by two things, right? First, the operating leverage is now clearly visible at the full year level as the volumes have now started to increase. Second, we have maintained conscious cost discipline through the year. So expenses have been incurred only where necessary, with most increases being limited to either being inflation-driven increases or variable expenses that have to be done, right? So as the last year has demonstrated, operating leverage is now working in our favor, with margins expanding meaningfully. The full year revenue expanded at 21%, while the EBITDA has grown north of 55%. We have said consistently that 20% EBITDA is sustainable over the cycle, and as volumes build through FY 2027, we expect to operate comfortably above that level. The exact outcome of the EBITDA will depend on the pace of the revenue ramp-up and the mix of the delivery channels.
Sure. And also, madam, now our rupee has significantly depreciated. So are we passing on the benefit of rupee depreciation, or are we retaining it? And also, steel prices also are at all-time high or nearabouts. So how are these two factors, coming together?
So, Madhur, as we all know, that the depreciation of a currency is linked to inflation. And so when we speak to our customers and we talk about FX pass-throughs, we also, at the same time, net it off against the inflation increase that happens. And that's how the customer contracts are designed and the customer negotiations happen.
And madam, lastly, if you could tell us about the CapEx plan that we have for the foreseeable future.
Madhur, our CapEx plans remain unchanged at about 2.5%-3.5% of our revenue, and that is consistent, and we will not be deviating from there.
Great, madam. Now, madam, just a feedback. Madam, our company has a great track record of paying huge dividends, and we are thankful for that. But if you could now, with recent changes in tax policy, share buyback has become far more tax efficient. So, straight away, instead of 36% taxation on dividend, the buyback tax is for the shareholders, it ranges from 12.5%-20%, and even for the promoters, it is 30%. So even the promoters will straight away save 17% of the tax outgo if the company does a share buyback instead of a dividend. So, madam, if you could kindly consider that suggestion. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Madhur.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants, we would request you to please limit your question to two per participant. If you have a follow-up question, you may rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Sunil Jain from Nirmal Bang Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for this opportunity and congratulations for great numbers. My question relates to the fire. Because of that, you might have done outsourcing and all. So was there any impact on the margin because of that? And if yes, then how much was the impact?
So hi, Sunil, and thank you for your good wishes. The management and the team has worked very hard to deliver these results in a volatile year. As far as the fire incident is concerned, we are very well covered under an insurance policy. This insurance policy does not only cover the fixed assets and the inventory, but any loss of profits that we have, which includes any increased costs that we incur due to the fire. So all of that is comprehensively covered under our insurance.
So, okay, fine. So, even if when it will come back, first of all, when it is likely to come back, and even if it come back, then will not have any impact on the margin.
Right. So, Sameer, you know, the efforts are underway to rebuild and to be online, you know, by the end of the year. And I think the LOP will ensure that any additional cost that is incurred due to the fire is the loss of profit. LOP is loss of profit. So any additional costs incurred due to the fire are a part of that claim.
Okay.
To interrupt you, Mr. Jain, may we request you to please rejoin the queue? We have other participants waiting for the turn. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashutosh Tiwari from Equirus Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi team. Congrats on very good numbers. So firstly, if I look at the 3PL revenue over the last 3-4 years, almost come down by 30% because tractor market has come down. But in this, we have not lost any market share, right?
Hi Ashutosh. So I think what has happened is we have grown with our customers in the construction segment. And that's a very clear de-risking strategy that the company has deployed. And that's why you see that today, you know, your revenue from 3PL and PMP is almost 50-50 split. So we haven't lost any market share. We continue to maintain our SOVs and we continue to grow with our ag customers. At the same time, we are growing with the PMP business as well.
Okay. So sorry, I want to understand, like say, next 2, 3, 4 years period, if you again go back to the peak, our revenues in the ag, in the PM, the 3PL will be higher than what we had at peak earlier, right?
So Ashutosh, as we are growing with different customers and different product lines, the idea is to maintain this de-risking and to ensure that our growth is there in both segments of 3PL and PMP and in both industries of ag and construction. So we will maintain our de-risking.
Sorry to interrupt. May we request Mr. Tiwari to please rejoin the queue? Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sujal Jain from Walford PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. First of all, congrats on a very set of numbers, delivering well above your guidance. I just had a couple of questions from my side. Firstly, on working capital, we saw improvement from like 155 to 136 days, driven by both your inventory and receivable improvement. So is this level sustainable going forward?
So hi, Sujal, and thank you for that question. You know our business model, right? We do have nearshoring for our customers where we make in India, we ship to our warehouses overseas and then supply to customers just in time. With that, our inventory levels remain high and there has been a lot of conscious effort put in to reduce the inventory, which is what has reduced our inventory from 146 days in FY25 to 134 days in FY26. The endeavor is to continue maintaining these levels. At the same time, we've brought the receivable days and the payable days almost at par in FY26. And again, we are continuing efforts to ensure that these are maintained. So yes, we do believe that with the efforts, these should be sustainable.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. And another question. Is there any update on the acquisition that we've been talking about?
So, Sujal, thank you for asking that question. And I think, you know, I'm going to address that that quite directly. We acknowledge that, you know, this has been talked about for a long time and investors really want an update. I think what I want to share today is that we have evaluated about a dozen targets since IPO across the platforms that we want to grow in. We have been close on two occasions and both fell apart for varied reasons. Internally at Nunipath, when we are looking at an acquisition, we have a clear framework where the target must add meaningful third platform. It should be manageable in size and it should be ROE and ROCE accretive. Right? We don't want to do something just for the sake of being able to say that we've made an acquisition. The special dividend that we paid out in Q3 of FY26 is partly because we evaluated an opportunity carefully and then decided not to proceed. So, you know, we do take our capital allocation very seriously and we will update investors as soon as something concrete is on the table.
Thank you. May we request Mr. Jain to please rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Viraj from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations to you and the team for a very good set of numbers in such a challenging environment. Couple of questions. First, if you can give, what will be the gain from Forex in the fourth quarter and full year FY26? And if you can also give the revenue mix by delivery channel both for quarter and FY26. And I think earlier you also used to share a brief snippet of, you know, major components of the order wins by, say, segment and region, you know, just a brief. So if you can also give that on an annualized basis. And last is on the aftermarket. I think post the tariff now normalized, while we have seen a growth sequentially, we have not seen to the level what it used to be as a percentage of revenue. So any color, how should we see this particular segment playing out over next couple of quarters?
Viraj, your line is a little unclear. Right. I think if you move a little bit away from the mic, it will help. I think your questions that I have understood are you want to understand what are the warehouse.
Am I audible now?
Yeah, audible.
Can I? You want me to repeat? I can repeat.
No. So you wanted to know what is the sales by delivery channel, right?
Sales by delivery channel FX gain we would have in the fourth quarter and for the full year 26. And also the order wins, you know, I think earlier used to give by, you know, segment and region, the major components, you know. Okay. You know, you should give a snippet in terms of, you know, large or construction and region-wise. So that and the aftermarket, I think sequentially while it has gone, but not to the extent where the business was earlier in the percentage of revenue. So just trying to understand, you know, how should one look at next couple of quarters.
Okay. So I think if you look at the full year sales for FY26, the warehousing channel has given us about 51% of sales. Direct exports is about 26%. India local deliveries is about 14% and USA local deliveries is about 8%. The growth of 18% sequentially that has come quarter on quarter is largely driven by volumes. And these volume growth was because of the tailwinds of the small ag recoveries beginning to happen and the new business wins that we were executing. Currency is a small part of it. The other question that you asked was on where has we won new business? The new business wins have been broad-based. We have been indicating and we've been saying this for the last few quarters that our largest runway for growth remains in large ag and in PMP. And a majority of our new business win comes from these two segments. We continue to win new business in small ag, but our efforts towards PMP and large ag would be about 70%, and that is also the proportion in which the new business wing would come through. The aftermarket, so the aftermarket on the tariffs is only the US. We also have an aftermarket in Europe. And overall, the aftermarket remains to be a stable contributor to the revenues for FY26. And in the quarter four, yes, aftermarket has had a better performance than quarter three of FY26.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nirman Mehta from Unique PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congrats for a great set of numbers. So my question is, ma'am, given that the end industries are recovering now and we have gained wallet share, so what is the kind of peak revenue potential that we can see in this cycle? And also on the capacity part, so do we have enough capacity to cater? Because I guess we mentioned sometime back that we would need to do some capex to cross our previous peak revenues. So if you could talk about that.
Right. So let me just understand your question again. Nirmam, you want to understand what is the peak revenue and do we have capacity, right? That's
yes.
the question that you have. Okay.
Yes.
So if you look at it from a capacity standpoint, we've always maintained that our capacity, including the maintenance capex that we do, is in the range of 2.5% to 3.5% of our revenue. When we do our capexes, we always ask ourselves the question of saying that for this investment, if I was to make an incremental investment, can we get better capability or a higher capacity? What this means is that when we get a new business, then at that point in time, we only need to do balancing capexes, and hence that capex remains in the range of 2.5% to 3.5% of revenue. The second point to note on capex is that, you know, our business model is run in such a way that, you know, the steady state EBITDA of 20% over a cycle allows us to invest in the business for our customers. And this invest continues even in the downturn. So even, for example, in the last 2 years, we've continued to invest in capabilities across the group. We've done insourcing in the U.S. factory, and we've also continued to build out our warehousing or nearshoring model with the investment in Mexico that we've done, right? So I think that's our CapEx strategy, and that is to ensure that we can continue to outperform the industry segments as we've also demonstrated. And which means that, you know, we are not constrained to any peak revenue. We can continue to accept growth as it comes our way. And that's where we continue to execute the 200 to 225 crores of new business awards that we've won.
Understood, ma'am. And secondly, on the PMP business, like you've mentioned that we've been focusing on this business for the past few years. So, and we've seen that because we've crossed up previous peak revenues, I think what we did in FY24 also. So if you could kind of talk more about what kind of products are you working on in here, and what is the kind of potential, growth potential that this segment has?
So specifically coming to PMP, let me give you a structural view of what is the growth potential, right? I think the important aspect over here is to see that we provide pins, bushings, which go into articulated joints and are critical for the operations and the functions of equipment that our agri and construction equipment customers manufacture. If you now look at who are our customers, right, let's just look at the top three construction equipment manufacturers globally. We are 100%. We are 100% supplier to them, or we have a large share of business for the products that we supply, right? But we are still a fraction of their total relevant spend that they do on these categories. So that's the growth opportunity that we have, and that's the reason that we've been focusing on growing our PMP business. And that's why if you see over a 2 year period where we were over 50% for our 3-point linkage business and about 45% for our PMP business, we are now about 50-50.
Yes, ma'am.
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Mehta. Can we request you to please rejoin the queue? Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anubhav Mukherjee from Prescient Capital. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes,
you're sounding a little muffled, Mr. Mukherjee.
Is this better?
Yes, please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a very good set of numbers. My first question is that we have been declaring order wins of around 200 to 225 crores. So can you share, like, what is the total order book outstanding as of now? Because we declare order wins, but what is the total outstanding order book?
So Anubhav, as Chairman mentioned, we are expecting a growth in line with the growth of FY 2026 for the full year, right? And that growth is based on the visibility of the order book itself. So, you know, if you say that the growth is going to be in the range of the 20% that is there for FY 2026, that gives you a visibility of the order book.
Ma'am, I get that, but in the past, like, we have been declaring round about 200 crore of order wins. But like, there has been a period of like, when growth has not been that strong. So is it that, like, the order didn't, like, order book did not translate in the past and the translation will improve, or was there some, like, fall in orders? Like, if you can, like, give some sense on that.
So Anubhav, in the last 2 years, there were two or three effects that happened, right? One was that the industry was on a down cycle. It's among the deepest troughs that the ag and the construction equipment industries have seen in the last 30-40 years. And as that trough was happening, our OEM customers' own demands were going down, right? And as their demand was going down, of course, our sales was impacted, and hence you saw that the order books were going down. I think that's factor one. The second factor is, as a consequence of that, whatever new business that we won either got delayed or was executed in a smaller amount. So that is what has happened. But, you know, when we tell you that we've won a certain order book, so as of 31st of March, we have 225 crore of new order wins. This represents the annualized potential of new projects won in the trailing 12 months. Now, this is a rolling window. So old projects fall off as they start generating revenue and new products come in. I think the fact is that this number has held at a 200 crore plus now for a few quarters, and this tells you two things: that we are consistently winning roughly about 200 crore of new business each year, and we are also converting older wins into actual revenue, and this is as the cycle is improving.
Get that, ma'am. Thanks for the clarification. Another question is that what I understand is for the large ag and PMP segment, our margins are better. So with the increase in business from these segments, will we see some margin tailwinds from that also?
So Anubhav, our margins are decided by our delivery channels. And, you know, we've always said that when we look at direct exports, direct exports is our base margin of what we say a steady state, 20% EBITDA margin. Our locally manufactured, locally delivered deliveries are lower than that, and the warehousing sales business is somewhat higher than this. So it's not the end segment, but the delivery channel that really drives the margins.
Sorry to interrupt. May we request Mr. Anubhav Mukherjee to please rejoin the queue? Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pralin Nandu from Edelweiss Public Alternatives. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, team. Thank you for taking my question, and great set of results for the year, given the fact that, you know, we started the year with all the tariff tantrums, and we ended on a very, you know, positive note. So congratulations to the entire team for that. So Tanushree, ma'am, two questions from my side. One is, right, on the margin part. Now, if I look at the EBITDA margin, right, as per my record, this is the highest EBITDA margin ever, right? At least, you know, for the past 8-10, 10-12 quarters data that I have. So, and also, if I look at the gross margin and EBITDA margin, right, on a quarterly basis for this quarter, amongst, you know, last four quarters, this is the lowest, right? So, is there anything one-off in this 9% EBITDA margin that we have reported, in the form of currency, in the form of mix, or in the form of any of these, you know, tariff refunds that some of our customers might be getting, right? Anything that you want to call one-off? And then, on the same lines, right, when we talk about at least 20% margin, so there is a huge gap between that 20% and 24% what we have reported, right? So could you just help us understand, you know, on both these points, is there any one-off here? And, you know, in terms of about 20% and 24%, how should one, you know, try to sync between these two numbers?
So Kulin, couple of things on margins, right? I think, number one, on tariffs, we've always said that we are P&L neutral as far as tariffs are concerned. So I'd just like to reiterate that. As far as tariffs are concerned, we are P&L neutral. Now, when we look at quarter four, and let's understand the results of quarter four, our material cost of 35% has now come back to where we've always said our normal material cost should be, in the range of 34%-37%. I think there are two things that have happened in quarter four to give the kind of EBITDA margins that you are seeing. Number one, there is an 18% sequential growth that has happened, which is largely driven by volumes, right? And that volume rise has obviously given the operating leverage a larger room to play, which is now, so our fixed costs are getting absorbed better and the EBITDA is improving. The second thing is that sequentially, from quarter three to quarter four, our warehousing sales actually went up. This is our highest margin segment, right? And hence you are seeing the 24% margin. Coming to where we see our stable EBITDA margins, like I said, we are seeing in FY 2026, a 21% top line growth got the EBITDA to grow about 55%, right? So we do believe operating leverage will play out. We are cost conscious, even today. We are not sanctioning any expense which is not necessary. So I think we are very comfortable in saying that we will be above the 20% levels. But again, the exact outcome of this, EBITDA will depend on the ramp-up of the volumes and the delivery channel mix that plays out.
Sorry to interrupt. May we request Mr. Nanda to please rejoin the queue for follow-up questions? Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Shah from Valcore Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, ma'am. Thank you for the opportunity. I think this is in line with the margins, EBITDA margins question, you know, someone asked previously. Ma'am, how, I mean, you know, we are in a scenario where sea freights are higher. Employee costs, we are hearing in North India, have gone up at least by 20%-25%, and which is a big component for us. I think it's almost 20% of our total revenue. And lastly, of course, raw material price inflation. So maybe putting that into perspective, how do you see sort of our margins shaping up? Because I think employee costs being, you know, one of the biggest things to consider in this.
Right. So again, Abhishek, if you see the employee cost that is going up is the variable cost. It is, the fixed cost has an inflation which also gets a little bit taken care of by the currency depreciation that happens, right? The volume expansion also takes care of the fixed costs to a large extent. And I think as far as we are concerned, the freight and the raw material component of the costs is a direct pass-through to customers, right? So the increasing volume and the currency depreciation that we have does help us to mitigate some of the inflationary elements that are there. And you know, like I said, the operating leverage ensures that the fixed costs are absorbed. Secondly, and that's why I'm emphasizing on this point, as an organization, we continue to be cost conscious, right? Even if you see the expenses that have gone up in percentage-wise, you won't see expenses going up. In absolute terms, also where you've seen expenses going up, they have gone up either because they are inflation-related or they are variable expenses that have gone up.
Right, right. Ma'am, my second question is, I understood partially, you know, what you said. My second question is, you know, if we look at the growth that we're talking about for this year, we could reach or maybe even cross the FY23 numbers that we had where we peaked, you know, last time, and we had an EBITDA of close to 300 odd crores. Ma'am, that time, I mean, our understanding when we used to speak to you, you know, at the bottom of the cycle was that we've done a lot of cost improvement measures, and with that, next time when we hit the peak, our margins will be a lot better than what they were in the last cycle. So is it a safe assumption that, you know, we could actually surpass that in terms of EBITDA margin purely because of a lot of cost measures that we would have taken? And, you know, maybe if you could talk us through, you know, in terms of what cost cutting that we would have done, you know, over the last 2-3 years, that would help us.
Sure. Abhishek, happy to take you through the cost conscious measures that we've done in detail offline as well, right? But I think it's not as much as cost cutting as much as saying becoming cost conscious. For example, when we invest in new capacity, we are looking at how can this investment reduce our operating costs going forward, right? So that's one thing that we do very consciously to keep ensuring that our costs come down. That's the reason we did an investment in insourcing in the US, for example, right? So I think it's a cost-conscious environment that we live in.
Right.
And I think, you know, if you look at the FY26 result where we are roughly at about a 1,200 crore turnover number, and you see when was it last that we reached that number, yes, our EBITDA margins are better than what they were at that time. Having said that, yes, we are endeavoring to ensure we keep our cost consciousness alive. We continue to do good work. We continue to grow business, get new business. But the exact outcome, and you know, if this trend continues, we are on a good path. But the exact outcome of where the EBITDA will land will also depend on our delivery channels. And I think that's something that I will definitely want to leave on the table. We are very comfortable today saying that we will be comfortably over the 20% number. But the exact number will be dependent on the delivery channel. So, for example, now we are also getting into Mexico, right? We have three customers that we are talking to. Two are in the ramp-up phase. But as these businesses start to fructify, we definitely are going to see another impetus coming to the profitability.
Right. Because, I mean, that's what, right? I mean, in the last 2 years, I think our business mix also has sort of improved. And that would also sort of be another parameter to add to your margins, basically, in terms of warehousing that we're doing.
Yeah, so Abhishek, 2 years ago, I think we had said that we were at about 46% to 47% of our warehousing sale, right? At that point in time, we had said that in 2 years' time, we should be at the 50% level. And that is where we are. So, yes, the effort is to grow the business in the best cost manner for the customer and to ensure that structurally our margin profile remains the same, right? We have near-shoring, dual-shoring and a large manufacturing footprint, which allows us to thoughtfully deliver on the best cost model for the customer and maintain our structural profitability, because that is what then allows us to go back and reinvest.
Fair enough. This is helpful, but just one last question. In terms of inventory levels at our customers, right? I mean, we used to talk about during tariff times, you know, customers, you know, were at a very, you know, just-in-time inventory. How is the scenario currently, you know, maybe if you can give us some light on that.
So, Abhishek, tariff or no tariff, right? I think all our customers take a view of saying that they have an end customer to serve at the end of the day. And they want to ensure that they have sufficient inventory to be able to deliver the product to their customer in time. And I think that philosophy continues. So in the aftermarket, if they need to have inventory because this is a high season sale, they will buy that inventory. in the case of the OEMs, as the industry cycle is picking up and they are sitting on backlog orders, you know, they are ordering more on us, and hence our inventories in our warehouses in absolute terms is going up, bearing in mind that the days of inventory are under control.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vipul Kumar Shah from Sumangal Investments. Please go ahead.
So, can you tell me about the capacity utilization at your both Ag division and this PMP division, please?
So, hi Vipul. Because we are a batch and a discrete manufacturing company, and for us, our capacities are as good as our bottleneck processes, right? And that's what I was mentioning. When we are actually investing in our capacities, when we are improving our capabilities, we are investing in such a way that when new businesses come in, we are not doing additional capex, but only balancing capex. And that is what allows us to ensure that our capex remains within the 2.5% to 3.5% range of our revenue. And that's the way we run the business.
So what I want to understand is your capacity fungible between the two main business lines?
So to, you know, a lot of processes, yes, we can do for both 3PL and PMP, and in certain cases, there will be certain processes which may not be fungible. But I think the capacity allocation and the capacity planning is done to ensure that, you know, we have adequate growth room available.
And lastly, during the IPO meet, I think there were some products which are shown being catering, being catered to oil field and oil and gas industry, and Mr. Soni had put a lot of emphasis on that. So what I don't think any meaningful progress has been achieved on that front. So can you tell the progress on that front?
So Vipul, those are products that we continue to manufacture and supply to the current customers that we have, and we continue to work to expand that product line as possible.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we would request you to please limit your question to one per participant. The next question is from the line of Sunil Jain from Nirmal Bang Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for this opportunity again. First of all, the outlook on South America is showing some weakness. So how much is our supply to that particular market and will we be impacted because of that? And one more question if I can take it. Share of large ag equipment in overall sales.
So, Sunil, if you look at our investor presentation also, it gives the geographic split that we have. So, FY26, at the end of FY26, roughly about 53% of our sale has come from North America, about 25% from Europe, about 14% from US, about 5% from Japan, about 1.5% from Asia. Rest of the world is less than 1%. And what is the share of large ag in our business at the end of FY26? It's close to 20%.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sujal Jain from Wolford PMS. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I have a question related to the 3PL story. So, with John Deere and CNH both going to small ag recovery and inventory replenishment, do you see 3PL growing faster than the company level, basically growing faster than the PMP in 27?
Sorry, Sujal, I couldn't understand you. Could you slowly repeat the question?
Yeah, so I was talking about our global OEM customers. John Deere and CNH both guided like for the recovery in small ag segment and also inventory replenishment in their con calls. So do you see 3PL category growing faster than the PMP in next year?
So, Sujal, as you know, Chairman had explained in his opening address, if you look at the small ag segment, it's looking at about a 5% growth in North America. And in Europe, you know, the growth in small ag is expected to be stronger in the second half, not in the first half. India, as Chairman also pointed out, which is a small ag market, is seeing a robust tractor market at the moment, but we'll also have to see how the monsoons play out, right? So I think it's an evolving situation. It's safe to say that the industry cycle has turned and we are looking at roughly about a 5% growth in the small ag segment overall. Large ag is working through the lowest of the cycle and coming back. Of course, Europe is ahead of North America in that. And construction remains more stable, more visible, and less volatile. So I think that's how the three segments are performing.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Jain. May we request you to please rejoin the queue? Participants are requested to please limit your question to one per participant. The next question is from the line of Viraj from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible? Hello?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, what will be the Forex gain in the fourth quarter and for full year FY26?
So, Viraj, the 18% sequential growth and the 31% year-on-year growth, a majority of that comes from the volume-led growth which is there.
No, no, I understand. But in terms of, you know, there will be some gains. So I think in the second quarter also we had somewhere around, you know, 7 to 8 crores of inventory valuation gains because of Euro INR depreciation. And I think in Q2, Q3 also we had some gains. So I'm just trying to understand, if I have to look on a annualized basis, what will be that figure be like?
So Viraj, that is on the inventory side, which is on the, you know, which impacts our material cost, which was about 2% in quarter two. And that would be a similar number in quarter four as well.
Okay, so the full year basis, what will be, it will be around 2% of sales. Would that be right to say?
So
inventory valuation gain?
So 2% is a good number to saying that, you know, that's the impact on the material cost because of the currency.
Right. So that will not be recurring, right?
If the currency depreciates, it will recover. If the currency appreciates, then it will go on the other side. And I think we are very cognizant of this movement that the currency can create.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arvind Arora from A Square Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, Arvind.
Yeah. So, ma'am, you explained that this growth in the quarter four is coming through volume. It's volume driven. There is no price escalation that is done during this quarter four. So, are we expecting any price escalation in the coming quarter or year? Anything? And the second part is also like, do we also spend anything on R&D for future growth on the product part? Or any, are we involved in any discussion with any other like partner, strategic partner or anything like that?
So I mean, most of the growth that we are anticipating going forward is also volume-led, and that is again driven by the fact that the industry cycles are turning. We have strong execution on the new businesses that we are winning, right? So both of these are leading to the growth in the order books, and hence, you know, the growth in the top line. We do invest in R&D. So, of course, you know, given that we work with the world's largest customers on the agricultural and the construction equipment side, we have to have engineering teams that can work with their engineering teams to understand feasibility of products, to collaborate on specific solutions. And I think that's the reason we are also able to win new business, and especially in segments like large ag, right? That's one segment where we've invested in. We've got significant new business wins in the last year. We've grown strongly, and today, at the end of FY26, that's 20% of our revenue. So all of this comes because we work very closely with our customers through our engineering teams on designing solutions together.
So any new product that is under development or anything like that?
So we continue to work on new products along with our customers, and that happens across our segments.
Understood. Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I request you to please limit your question to one per participant. The next question is from the line of Sakshi Shah from Quest Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to ask, would it be possible to give the geographical split within the two segments?
The geographical split within the it's there in our investor presentation, Pashi.
Ma'am, I mean within the two segments, as in
can,
how much
you
would...
you can contact our IR team and they can help you through that.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. With that, I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Thanks a lot. I just want to say that, the financial year 26 tested our team in many ways that go beyond the usual business cycle, things like navigating the tariff headwinds, the uncertainty stemming from the West Asia crisis, and managing through the disruption that was caused by the fire. Through all of this, I think our people responded with resilience and agility that we are genuinely proud of. We do remain focused on executing our strategy with discipline, which is also, including deepening customer partnerships, broadening our presence across segments and geographies, and building a business that is stronger and more adaptable than before. The new business momentum we are seeing is a direct reflection of all that effort. And lastly, to our employees, our shareholders, our partners, and the communities we operate in, thank you for your continued trust and support. And we look forward to delivering on the promise of that trust in the quarters ahead. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.